Now, a new rule announced last week by the Trump administration could have a big impact on some people who rely on food assistance. The change affects job requirements for some people who receive benefits from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as SNAP. Here's Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue talking about the intent of the rule change on CNBC last week.
What we want to do is increase employment. We need these people in the workforce.
Right.
People who've been on the welfare, been on food stamps. We're trying to get them. And sometimes it is difficult when you've been out of a job for a long time. We're trying to help these people get back into personal dignity of work and becoming part of the productive economy of the United States.
Sarah Halpern-Meekin is an assistant professor of sociology at the University of Wisconsin's School of Human Ecology, where, among other topics, she studies the effect of the changing welfare system on low-income families. Sarah, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, food aid policy can be complicated. Can you tease out for us what this particular rule change actually does?
Yeah, so there have been a number of rule change proposals, and so I think this is a good question. What exactly are we talking about today? Which is the specific one that's going to go into effect soon? So the one that we're discussing today is a rule change proposal that adjusts the ability of states to access work requirement waivers for their residents. So the rule in place now is that a person who is able-bodied between 18 and 49, I believe, and has no dependent children, can only receive SNAP benefits for 3 months out of a 36-month period unless they meet work requirements. And states are able to apply for waivers so that people can receive benefits for longer than those 3 months if they have higher unemployment. And this restricts the ability of states to request those waivers.
And how common has it been for states to request waivers and I guess get waivers from that requirement?
It's pretty common. There are several states that actually have the waiver that applies to their entire state. And I believe every state except for Delaware has gotten a waiver, applied for a waiver at some point in time. So it's not just one kind of state or another kind of state that gets these. This is something all states have made use of at different points in time.
And you mentioned sometimes it's a whole state, but sometimes it might be, hey, we've got this economically depressed area with really high unemployment. Is that a kind of waiver that someone might request?
Right. So these waivers are based on unemployment. And what this rule change does is it ups the ante for the standards a state would have to make or meet or an area would have to meet in order to qualify for a waiver. So it makes it harder for states or economically depressed areas to extend the time frame for SNAP receipt to their residents if they're facing employment difficulties in the area.
And what have we done with those kind of waivers here in Wisconsin?
So I can't speak specifically to when exactly over time we've gotten them in Wisconsin. We certainly know that there are different areas of Wisconsin that face different unemployment rates. You know, we know that there's higher SNAP benefit receipt, for example, in northern Wisconsin. A lot of families up there are relying on food assistance. And then we also have a lot of variety around central Wisconsin. We have much higher unemployment rates in some of our counties than in others. The other thing to keep in mind is I want to make sure we don't just talk about unemployment rates, but we remember that unemployment doesn't take into account anybody who's not working or actively seeking work. So anybody who's out of the labor force isn't considered in these rules. And that can make it more complicated to figure out which of our areas actually need help when.
Talking about rule changes in the Federal Food Assistance Program with Sarah Halpern-Meekin from UW's School of Human Ecology. Taking a little step back, what do we know about the impact of these kind of work requirements on federal food aid and whether it prevents people from getting food aid or, as we heard Sonny Perdue saying, gets them into the workforce?
So the administration is predicting that about 700,000 people across the country will lose SNAP benefits with this rule change. So we know that that's a change that's going to happen. Fewer people will be getting food assistance. There is not evidence that suggests that cutting back on food aid increases people's likelihood of working. The amount of money that we're talking about here, the average individual benefit is about $127 $1,000 a month. That's certainly not enough money for anybody to choose to live on. So the idea that that there's a trade-off between getting these SNAP benefits or working doesn't really reflect the economic reality for most folks.
I want to give another listen to Secretary Perdue, again talking to CNBC here, about going after the waivers states had been able to make regarding these work requirements.
Now we've got more jobs based on the Trump's economy than we've got people for apply for them. We're going back to the original congressional intent. That's what the administration is supposed to do. Look at the original congressional intent and go back there. So we're eliminating those waivers except for those people who are naturally exempt.
So the argument there that we'd kind of gone beyond the original intent of the original food assistance legislation.
So this rule change proposal was actually in the 2018 Farm Bill, and Congress didn't pass it. So it's not that Congress has said this is what we want this program to be, and the Trump administration is just bringing it back to that. I think there's disagreement in Congress, but Congress did not choose to implement this rule. So this is something the administration has chosen to advance.
And Secretary Perdue there referred to the state of the economy. Does it make sense to change rules from, say, the depths of the Great Recession, when a lot more people were out of work and may have needed some kind of food assistance, to now after many years of economic recovery?
We're in a vast country where the economic experiences of people are going to vary widely from place to place. And so I think we want to keep in mind, we don't want to create a food assistance program, you know, for cities that are booming when we know that there are other places where people aren't feeling that boom. It feels more like a bust time. So keeping in mind that we have that wide variety, we also want to remember that we want to have programs that are set up so they can respond when we do encounter a crisis situation. There are some estimates that suggest that this rule change would make it harder for this federal policy to respond if we were to see unemployment rates increase again.
Right. I've heard the phrase countercyclical used to refer to programs like food stamps, which, as I understand it, means when things get bad, the spending goes up. When the economy goes down, the spending goes up. So then it sounds like you're saying, okay, if we're a state like Wisconsin, we're hit by the next recession, whenever that might happen. This change would make it harder for us to say, look, unemployment went up a lot here in this last year. We need to get these waivers again.
Right. So it just decreases the flexibility for states of responding quickly and in line with their changes in unemployment that they're seeing in their areas.
So it sounds like this waiver or this change, I should say, to the waiver system would take effect next year. I mean, is it the thought that that's almost 700,000 people could potentially lose food aid pretty quickly after that, or maybe 3 months after that?
Yes. So, you know, we're talking about a short time span in which people are eligible for benefits. So we would see this substantial number of people coming off benefits, you know, in the near future.
Does Wisconsin stand out as being particularly dependent on federal food aid, or less so, or kind of in the middle of the pack when it comes to states around the country?
So as I said, you know, I like to look at that variation across
sure.
the state.
Yeah.
And so there are some counties where there are a substantial number of families who are dependent on food assistance to stretch their grocery bills. And there are other counties in Wisconsin where that's much less the case. So it's going to have a disproportionate impact across our state.
And some critics now of this rule change have said this is going to put a lot of work on social service providers and states who have to verify eligibility here. Is that, I guess, bureaucratic element part of the story we should be watching here?
I think that's a more pressing issue with some of the other rule changes that have been proposed with the SNAP legislation. It certainly is the case that if you want to be documenting people's work efforts, there's an administrative burden that comes with that. So, yes, I mean, that adds to what our state agencies need to do to administer the program.
And as you mentioned, this isn't the only rule in the works. What other possible rule changes are you watching for from the Trump administration?
So one of the key ones that has been discussed is changing the asset rules, whether assets need to be checked for people who are already on other programs, and then something called categorical eligibility, which is related, which is to say if I'm getting another kind of means-tested benefit, like I'm getting cash welfare, for example, I don't have to go through and have everything verified again for the SNAP program since the eligibility is similar. If I'm qualified for that first program, I'm categorically eligible for that second program. And so the administrative rule change would make that harder to be the case. And that is likely to affect some families' ability to receive SNAP and also affect the ability of children in those families to qualify for free or reduced price lunch.
So would the likely outcome of both of those changes also be to take some people off of the food assistance lists?
Yeah, I believe the estimate is that we would see a decline of about 3.7 million people on the SNAP rolls. So almost 4 million fewer people receiving SNAP were all these proposed changes to go into place.
We're talking with Sarah Halpern-Meekin, UW-Madison Assistant Professor of Sociology in the School of Human Ecology. We're talking about a rule change to the Federal Food Assistance Program. It affects this particular rule we're focusing on involves work requirements for what are being referred to as able-bodied recipients from the age of 18 to 49. It would make it harder for states to get waivers, exemptions from those work requirements. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on these changes? Are you or have you ever been reliant on food stamps as they used to be or SNAP benefits? How did the program impact you? What do you think about the work requirements in general requiring people to prove that they are working or seeking work? There are some other eligibility requirements. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with sociologist and assistant professor Sarah Halpern-Meekin. She's with the UW-Madison School of Human Ecology. We're talking about a new rule change for the Trump administration to work requirements for federal food assistance, making it, in effect, harder for states to waive those federal requirements for the whole state or in areas with higher unemployment. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the way these food aid benefits, SNAP benefits work, how people in Wisconsin use them, the impact of this rule change? If you've used federal food aid yourself, you can share your experience with us and your thoughts on the requirements for it. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Brad is with us in Saukville. Brad, hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Brad?
I feel like this legislation, this rule or whatever, is basically a target for lower-income families. And I feel like this is the government's way of basically saying, you know what? You just don't have that six-figure bank account we're looking for. So, you know, if you can't make it, we don't care. And you know, that's how it feels. I mean, I'm an able-bodied individual. I have a seasonal job. I do pool construction, pool maintenance, pool technician between the months of March, November, depending on what the season looks like. And, you know, come, you know, my off-season, I can see the government saying, well, technically you're able-bodied. You should have to work. And I do agree with that. But at the same time, I don't think they understand that as a seasonal employee, you know how hard it is to find a job that'll work with, listen, I don't know when my season is going to end, nor do I know when it's going to begin.
Brad, thanks a lot for your call and sharing your experience. Sarah, seasonal workers in Brad's case might feel an impact from this.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not just the pool construction industry. We can think of road construction, right? We don't know when that last freeze is going to happen in Wisconsin and the construction workers can get out and start putting up cones and, you know, building our roads. And there are so many industries where people have this kind of unknowns in their work that can make it really hard to plan. So there are a lot of people who are facing employment situations the way that Brad was describing that can make it really hard to comply with these work rules.
Brad, thanks for the call. We'll go now to Mary Kate in Kenosha. Mary Kate, hi.
Hi. My concerns are these. There are people out there that don't have a high school. They don't have the transportation. They have no home. they have temporary jobs, and these are the people you're going to, and no health care, and you're going to take these people off food stamps.
Mary Kate, thanks for the call. Mary Kate, worried about people kind of at the bottom of the economic ladder, maybe people without high school diplomas as well.
Yeah, so it's definitely the case that one of the things people who are in advocacy positions who are looking out for lower income folks get worried about is with lower access to consistent food, what is that going to mean for people's health and well-being? We know that for people with diabetes, for example, having regular access to high quality food is really important. And so as we think about these rule changes, it's important for us to think about impacts on people, but also what might they do to the expenses that we face in other ways? So if somebody gets Medicaid, our government health insurance, for example, are we going to face increased costs there because they don't have access to regular healthy food someplace else?
Thanks for that call. We'll go now to Mo with us in Oconto. Mo, hi.
Hi. Couple of comments here. One is the multiplier effect on every dollar we spend, how much actually comes back. I think this is going to hurt some grocery stores, especially the smaller ones that may have to close because they have a lot of SNAP recipients. And the third one is, I think you just got to be careful what party you vote for.
Mo, thanks for the call. Have you looked into the multiplier effects? He was talking about the economic outcome of food aid like this.
Yeah, work by economists has supported what Mo was talking about, that for every dollar somebody receives in SNAP, that money is spent. So that's not money people can save in their pockets, and they spend it in local businesses. And so we do see it as a potential engine of economic growth in an area because these dollars are often being spent in lower resourced areas. It's one reason why there has been bipartisan support for a long time for SNAP, especially from Republicans from farm states, because the amount of money that Americans spend on groceries directly impacts the well-being of our farmers.
Thanks for that call, Mo. We're talking to Sarah Halpern-Meekin from UW-Madison School of Human Ecology, looking at changes in rules for federal food assistance, in particular rule change on work requirements for particular recipients and states' ability to get waivers from those requirements. We'll go now to Troy on the line in Muskego. Troy, hello.
Hello. I just want to make a couple of points here. Number one, there was two major things that happened in Wisconsin, which was a lot of people were with the work requirements, and also the other one was it's harder to file unemployment. These are things that political parties use to try and make it look like to get people so they're not filing unemployment. So basically they try and take credit and say that the unemployment rate is down, and that's really because a lot of people are actually going hungry. A lot of people are kicked off these programs. I want to say we should change the conversation. Why don't we raise wages? And I think if we raise wages, because there's people that are actually on these programs that do work. And actually there's people that are working two or three jobs, and they need to get the assistance to go along with it. I think they need to raise wages, and we need to expand our grants for higher education or the trades.
I'm going to jump in. Troy, you gave us a lot to work with already there. Let's talk about that, and this might not be affected by the work requirement change, but saying that a lot of people who receive food aid are employed.
Yeah, so there are a substantial proportion of the adults who receive food aid who are employed. It's important to keep in mind that a lot of the people who receive food aid would fall into the categories of being children, being elderly, or being disabled. And so even when we look at the proportion of people who are adults on the SNAP rolls, many of them will also fall into this disabled category. It can also be a tricky category because that, the way we count it, just includes people who are on Social Security disability, one of those two programs. And that ignores all the people who are waiting to get disability, for example. It can be a years-long process. So people can't work during that time. And how are we going to make sure that people who are disabled but not receiving disability are able to get by is one question we need to think about.
So that able-bodied category here might not be as clear-cut as we might think hearing the phrase.
Exactly. So the able-bodied category is not as clear-cut, and the no-dependence category is also not as clear-cut because it just means that you are not the custodial parent for children, the primary custodial parent. So this category includes a lot of people who might be facing mental or physical health issues and also a lot of people who actually our parents.
Time for one more caller. Let's go to Carol with us in Burlington. Carol, hi.
Good afternoon. I had mentioned to the first call about I was a recipient as a single parent with four children in the mid-80s, both public assistance and food stamps at the time. And I think my piece is that this is actually doable in its current proposal.
Your line is breaking up pretty well there, Carol. Sorry about that, but thank you for calling in. Just a few moments left. Actually, Sarah, what are you watching for next when it comes to federal rules and guidelines on food assistance?
Well, I think we need to wait and see how these things are implemented, what those exact numbers are going forward in terms of the rules that states will need to meet in order to request these waivers. And we'll also want to keep an eye on those other administrative rule change proposals that are coming up. Those are things that people have been making comments on. There have been a lot of comments that they've received from the public on these proposals, and it remains to be seen when and whether these additional proposals are going to go into effect, because then we're talking about affecting nearly 4 million people.
We'll watch for those changes. Sarah, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Sarah Halpern-Meekin, Assistant Professor of Sociology at the UW-Madison School of Human Ecology. We talked to her today about a new rule on food assistance from the Trump administration.